This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. It is, of course, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're going to talk about these primary votes. Should Trump voters be concerned that he's losing 20% of these votes in the primaries? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about, well, personal grooming. Someone wants to add an addendum to my DC story. DEI is starting to be shunned at the corporate level, or is it? All that and so much more is coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, back to what we were talking about before. The guy emailed in and he basically said, hey, Pennsylvania primary, Indiana primary, should I be concerned that 22% of the voters consistently are voting for other in these primaries? They're not voting for Trump in GOP primaries. And I've already told you before, traditionally, everyone comes home. That's traditionally how it is. Most people, not everyone, but most people come home, vote for the nominee. Here's something we all have to take in for this election. And this might be offensive, so I don't care. Just know if you're offended, I don't care. So here's what we have. This is not you or me. Let's talk about what the general public is dealing with right now. The general public. The general public, the norms and normas out there, they don't like either guy. They personally like Joe Biden. I know, how could you like Joe Biden? But look, this is what all the polling shows. They personally like Joe Biden, but they believe he's too old and they believe he's been a complete failure. He's underwater on every single issue. Yeah, let's set that aside. So they don't want to vote for Joe Biden. Trump is a bombastic personality, so he's going to turn a lot of people off. A lot of people are going to love him. He's going to turn a lot of people off. People, strong personalities, very rarely is someone lukewarm on them. Either you love them or hate them. Very rarely can you find someone who's like, I don't really care about Trump either way. I'm kind of agnostic about the whole thing. So there's that. Plus, Trump, keep in mind, has been the subject of the system's wrath and propaganda for, what was it, 2015? So we're closing in on a decade, 9 years now. For 9 years, the system, media, Democrats, half the Republicans, education system, every entertainer in the country, so on and so forth, have pushed this notion that Trump is the Antichrist, Trump's a racist, Trump's this, Trump's that, Trump's this, Trump's that. Well, propaganda exists for a reason. It's because it works. Propaganda is very, very effective. There is a percentage of this country, no matter what, that will never vote for Donald Trump under any circumstances. The well has been so poisoned that it wouldn't matter if Joe Biden was revealed to be the second coming of Adolf Hitler and Trump started walking on water and healing the blind, they still would not vote for Donald Trump because propaganda works. So that brings us to the primaries. Remember, this isn't only a Trump problem. Joe Biden has this exact same problem. He is running virtually unopposed in his Democrat primary, and consistently, he's getting 20% or so of his own base voting no. Nope, voting for someone else. I don't want Joe Biden. Same thing is happening with the GOP primary in every state. It's consistent. Nope, about 20-some percent. I don't want Trump. I don't know how that's going to look in November because, to be honest with you, I've never seen an election where that's the case, where both parties' nominees have been decided, yet 20% appear to be holding out with real axes to grind. And some of those axes, the various bases, the two different bases have to grind, they're axes that are not going to get buried by Election Day. On the Democrat side, for Joe Biden, Joe Biden has a problem. The Democrats have imported gobs, gobs and gobs of Muslims into this country by the tens of thousands. Because of this Israel-Palestine war, Joe Biden has a percentage of his base that hates Jews and demands he hates them, and they're not going to get over it by November. You saw it was actually in Michigan where they had the big Muslim population where they can't wrangle them all in. You had Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman from over there, saying, don't vote for Joe Biden. And that issue's not going away by November. For Trump, the lockdown stuff and the vaccine pushing. I screamed about it early on in the primary. I warned his people. I know he heard it. No one listened. He could not stop himself from bragging about it publicly. It's one thing to have pushed it and be the father of it and all those things. Okay. It's another thing to continue kicking dirt in people's faces. A lot of people have been injured or know someone who is. They're angry about the whole thing. And that's not going to go away by November either. I warned everyone to shut up about it in the Trump camp. Look, you can't change what you did. At least shut up about it. He couldn't do it. Couldn't make himself do it. Got up at every rally. We did it. We did it all right. So if you had somebody who was on the fence trying to decide, now you just kick dirt in their face. Now they're gone for life. Is that going to heal by November? I don't know. So it comes down to this. Who is going to lose more of their base? And I don't know the answer to that question. I will say from Trump's perspective, I do see something that concerns me. You remember, it was a little while ago. I don't want to put a date on it because I don't remember the exact date. But you remember a little while ago, we were debating. You probably have had this debate with your friends or whatnot. I know we've talked about it on the show. RFK Jr., the third party guy, who does he take more votes from? And I've never known the answer to that question. We can guess. He takes more votes from Biden, takes more votes. We can guess. But for a while, it seemed like, oh, okay, he's definitely going to take more votes from Biden. Why? Because for a brief time, there was Democrat propaganda aimed at RFK Jr. They were blasting away at RFK this, RFK that. It was just a few weeks ago, they had the press conference with the Kennedys. The Bidens got all of RFK's family members and did a press conference. This is why we're backing Joe. Well, that showed you right there. They were concerned about RFK. So when all that was going on, I said to myself, well, that tells you all you need to know. Clearly, he's stealing more Democrat votes than Republican votes. Recently, though, that has changed. And you can see the Trump camp, paid people, paid influencers, people who are out there to push Trump's message, attack Trump's enemies, all these things. They are going all in both barrels against RFK, attacking RFK, attacking anyone. There's a bunch of people on the right. Maybe you're one of them who's saying, hey, I'm going to support him. I'm going to vote him for the vaccine or whatever reason it may be. But they've been going after those people. That made me sit up and take notice because who they're attacking tells you what they're worried about. You know, that doesn't lie. Forget the poll numbers or anything else. You can tell what and who someone is worried about in politics based on who they're attacking. Very clearly, the Trump camp, either they have poll numbers, and I don't know which one this is, either they just assume they have a problem there or they have poll numbers that show they have a problem there in swing states, but the Trump people are worried about RFK. Which one of the two guys should be more worried? I don't know. Again, no one knows the answer to that. Should you be worried that Trump is still losing 22% of the primary vote in these states? Yeah, it's a cause for concern. The good news is Joe Biden's losing it too. This is a unique election in that each nominee has a significant, I don't want to say significant, but a not insignificant portion of their base that has a real problem with the nominee, a problem they may not be able, probably won't be able to overcome. If you are a Jew-hating Muslim in Michigan, you're not going to get past the whole Israel-Palestine thing by the time November rolls around. If you're somebody who watched your sister die from the vaccine, you're not going to get over it by the time Trump's election rolls around in November. You're not. You can yell at those people all you want. That won't do you any good. They're not going to get past. You don't get past things like that. How that looks, I don't know. Jesse, How dare you tell the story, even breezing through the story about your time in D.C.? How can you forget to mention the car you bought to commute through D.C. traffic and parking? You know, that's not very nice to bring up old stuff. Yes, I had a pickup truck. It was nothing fancy, but I had a pickup when we moved to D.C. It's a very old city, so you can't park or drive a pickup in half the daggone streets. And we didn't have any money, so I had to trade in my pickup truck for a used Honda Civic. Basically traded it straight up. That tells you what kind of a downgrade it was. And yes, I was physically sore when I unfolded my body out of a Honda Civic. There you go. Now, to make matters worse, after I got home from driving my Honda Civic home, this is before I had discovered my pillow. So I'd get home with this sore body, and I didn't have this incredible my pillow bedding so my body could rest and recover and recuperate. That's a hard word, Chris. Hey, that's a difficult word that I nailed. What, Chris? I did. Anyway, do you have a Honda Civic? Do you want a better night's sleep? Go get some MyPillow. MyPillow has a $25 extravaganza sale right now. $25 for a two-pack of multi-use MyPillows. $25 for MyPillow sandals. $25 for the premium MyPillows, the ones with the Giza fabric on them. $25 extravaganza sale is not one you want to miss out on. Go. When you spend $75, you get free shipping, which is huge today because daggone shipping costs are crazy. MyPillow.com. Click on the big radio listener special square. Don't forget to do that. And use the promo code Jesse and save a bunch of money and get some awesome stuff. And or call them. You don't have to go online if you're not an internet person. 800-845-0544. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we still have a ton we need to get to, so let us get right back to it. That's enough politics for a minute. Let's do a couple other things. Jesse, serious question. So this guy I know is into this chick, and she's into him too, but she's a little au naturel for his tastes. If Aubrey decided to see if she could get her pit hair to grow longer than her regular hair, how would you handle it? Okay, so very clearly this guy who emailed in is not talking about his friend. He's talking about himself. And he found some chick, and he's into her, and she's into him, but she has armpit hair. Listen, there's no easy way to have that conversation, but you're going to have that conversation. That's just the bottom line. I think you'll find she's probably, while she's going to be hurt, you got a plan for that. It's better to have it now than later. It's really better to have it now than later. I don't want to be totally dismissive of some dime that you're into, but that's probably going to be a deal breaker for me. That needs to be taken care of. Dear Shrimp Intolerant Oracle, I recently read an article that claimed corporations are distancing themselves from DEI language. Are they understanding the death of everything this has caused, or will they simply rebrand with some secret verbiage? What say you? They're not moving away from DEI. First of all, let's understand what it actually is. This diversity, equity, inclusion, you know what it is. But in the end, it's just communism. It's cultural Marxism. That's what it is. It's cultural Marxism. But to understand why they're never going to move away from it, we have to understand why they love it so much. And they do love it. You ever heard of Bill Ackman? He's been this lefty billionaire forever. And recently, I guess, he got really angry with the left for a couple things. And now he's been speaking out against things like DEI. Well, he went to this big conference, one of these conferences where all the elites of the world meet, Milken, I believe it's called. And there's an article written about this in Bloomberg. They pulled him behind closed doors and they flat out scolded him about complaining about DEI. They took a billionaire out behind the woodshed and whipped him over this stuff. That's how much they love it. But why do they love it so much? Well, what really is communism? Not the definition. Forget about the religion of the malcontent stuff for a moment. What is it? Communism is a way for people to seize power for themselves. That's really all it is. Remember, it's just the haves hoovering up more stuff for themselves and destroying the have-nots. That's what it's always been. It's just, there's a million ideologies like that. An ideology designed around people gaining power, using the grievance of people to gain power for themselves. DEI, cultural Marxism, communism itself, it is treasured by the world's elites because at its core, communism treats everybody like peasants except for the elites who rule like kings. Communism has kings. It always has. That's why these dictators, these central committee people rise up with 8 million mansions and everyone else is starving to death. Well, these billionaires, the elites of the world, the politicians, the billionaires, these types, they are the elites who have a seat at the table. The more communism, the more cultural Marxism is pushed out there, the more you get smashed and the more your money and freedom and power is transferred over to these people. They love DEI. They live and die for it. It's a dream for these people. You can use grievance politics, pit this person against that person, this group against that group. You sit back and you watch the checks roll in. And one of the reasons, you know, one of the reasons the CEOs uniquely love DEI, DEI, when you choose to embrace it as a CEO, you take away the performance requirement. If I'm at some dirtball company, let's call it Nike, and I'm the DEI CEO, if I just focus on hiring enough gay people and black people and women, let's say I have a bad quarter and profits go down, my great DEI number might save my job. Remember, we have audio from the finance giants, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. They tie compensation to DEI. It used to be a CEO. You had to get up there, get at the whiteboard, and show me your earnings, Jack. What'd we make? What'd we lose? It's right there in a pie chart. That's going to determine whether or not you get a bonus check. Now, oh, we lost $10 billion. That's the bad news. The good news is we are like 100 times gayer than we were before. Give me my $30 million. And that's legitimately how it works now. It's turned into this cultural Marxist mafia where the profit for the individual, the profit for the CEO is not based on performance. It's based on DEI. Why do you think the doors are coming off and the wheels are falling off Boeing jets? They've been pushing this stuff forever. No one at Boeing is losing any jobs. Sure, a couple whistleblowers have committed suicide. But other than that, if you're at the top of Boeing, you're not flying on a Boeing plane anyway. You'll be on a private jet. So when you and me die in a 300-person plane crash, you don't miss a beat. You got your $20 million bonus check and your special mansion on a private island. They're not moving away from DEI. They will change the language. Communists always change the language once you catch on, but they're not moving away from the concepts. All right. We have a lot more. Like lotto tickets and more. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dear Shogun Oracle, around my office, there are a few gas stations. If you pop into any of the gas stations for a bottle of water, there's a very good chance you'll be waiting 10 minutes in line while people hem and haw over which scratch-off lottery tickets they want to lose money on. I've got a business idea. I'm seriously considering putting gas stations around where type A people work, and the only marketing strategy will be that we do not sell lottery tickets? Do you like this idea, or is this pet peeve of mine not as widely shared as I hope? All right. Well, I've got good news and I've got bad news, brother. The good news for you is you're not alone. I cringe when I wake up or see something on the news about the Powerball number getting really, really, really big. You've seen this before. Powerball's at a billion or something like that. And I don't cringe because someone's going to win $1 billion. I hope you all win $1 billion. Good for you. I cringe because I know gas stations will be uninhabitable until someone wins that Powerball. Everyone's going to show up, and I'm going to stop for a bag of chips or whatever, and I'm going to sit there in line waiting. And it's not just the buying of the lottery tickets. It's that people will sit in stress, like you said, him and haw over which ones to get. All right, they have them numbered here. They have big displays of them. I want 4 number twos and no, 3 number twos. And I want a 42, a 41 and maybe 4 34, no, 2 34s. And then they'll sit there after they, him and haw over which one to get. They'll get them. And then they'll set them right beside the checkout counter and scratch them off, waiting to see if they won right there. I personally would patronize your gas station, the no lottery ticket gas station. And what's weird about this is I'm not anti-lottery ticket. I think they're a blast. I personally don't buy them regularly, but they are amazing stocking stuffers for people. It's maybe the best stocking stuffer in the world. Credit to my wife's family. She's the first time, her side, it's the first ones I've seen do this. You know, what do you get in stockings? You get a Butterfinger and a new toothbrush. That's fine. Wouldn't you rather just have a stocking full of lottery tickets? You might pull $5,000 out of there or something like that. So I like lottery tickets. I'm not anti-lottery tickets. It's just not something I buy regularly. I'm not a big gambler. I stress about losing money. It's whatever. It's a Kelly thing. It's not just Chris here. It's me too. I admit that. But here, this brings me to something I've talked about before, and it's something that I try to get past because I know it's my fault. What I'm about to say, I know it's on me. I know it is. This is maybe the most difficult thing for me about living in the South. I live in Texas. I love living in Texas. I love living in the South. I love the Southern people. I love the Southern food. The Southern weather's awful, but we'll set that aside. I prefer to live in the South. I moved to the South on purpose. But the friendly, conversational nature of people in the South, for someone who's impatient like me, and I know I'm impatient, and I know that's bad. Again, I know I'm the bad guy here. That conversational nature can be difficult for me to handle sometimes. For instance, if I'm swinging in the gas station, I'm on my way to work, I'm on the way home, I'm buying a bottle of water, whatever it may be, like you just said, and there's someone at the cashier, and they've paid for the stuff, but then they're just kind of gabbing there. Man, did you see this construction going on across the street? I know, man, it's crazy. Yeah, I told them they got to put some traffic cones out there, and I'm sitting behind there, and I can actually feel. You've probably seen me on TV. If you've ever seen me do TV, or if you watch the radio show on the simulcast, you know they simulcast the radio show? When I get angry, I really wish I wasn't like this. My blood pressure, you can see it in my neck. Now, you could call me a redneck and you'd be very valid. When my blood pressure gets up, my neck gets super red. I wish it wasn't the case, but I can feel my neck getting hot. As I stand there in the gas station line, hey, man, Bob, how the kids been? You know, I was a T-ball with little Billy. Could you step aside so I can buy my water bottle, please, and have the conversation while I'm buying stuff? I know that's on me. I know. I'm sorry. I'm going to let that go. Hey, free ball and candy connoisseur, could you play the Frito Bandito for my wife, Amy? She's a converted commie thanks to your show. We listen to it every night, and she also converted some of her friends. That's all. That's really freaking cool. She deserves it.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. I like Frito. those corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
What a beautiful song. Jesse, at 6'8", are you any good at basketball? I guess that probably depends on what you would consider good. If you threw me a basketball right now and told me to dribble around and take some jump shots, would I be embarrassing? No, of course not. No, I can dribble. I can shoot. I played basketball for years and years and years. I am by no means good. I was way too lazy. I was real skinny and slow. I could always shoot. I could always block shots. I could rebound okay. I was a very dirty player. I would elbow people and push people a lot. I fouled out of a lot of games. I got a lot of technical fouls when I was a kid. I know you're going to find that surprising. But I would never call myself good. But if you threw me a basketball, I'm not going to go dribble it off my knee and then look like I have two left hands as I'm trying to shoot a jump shot. I can play. That's what I'll put. I can play. Not well. Don't try to recruit me for your pickup team. I can play. Dear Jesse, Oracle of all, while listening to your Wednesday show, I learned President Trump's true social posting describing his plans to building a new FBI walking distance to the DOJ. While I continue to support President Trump and pray that he will be reelected, your advice to guard against developing a savior complex with Trump or any other politician came to mind. It really looks like patriots who love the country have no champions. It was terribly disappointing to listen to a true social post like that from President Trump after all the FBI has done in the last several years to destroy him and viciously attack his supporters. It was another very sad day for America. Thanks for all you do to save the country from the evil, rotten communists. Look, okay, I understand you're sad, and I got a lot of those from Trump fans. Not a lot of anger at me. A lot of, hey, Jesse, this bummed me out. This is sad. I was sad about that. And I understand that, but listen. After that post and before that post, nothing has changed. It's up to us. There's no political savior coming. And you can love Trump and vote for Trump, but he's still not a savior. A savior doesn't exist. A man savior does not exist politically to save the country. He's not out there. Those kind of men don't exist. We as a collective, we are the ones who can save the country. I'm not saying don't wear your MAGA hat or don't vote for Trump, but don't put all your hopes and dreams in a man. Even if he was perfect, and he's not, none of us are, even if he was perfect, frankly, it's unfair to them. They're not capable of doing all the things you want done. Trump is just like you and me and anyone else. He got a lot of really great ideas, a lot of really stupid ideas. He puts his pants on one leg at a time, just like you and me. He's going to do some good things. He's going to do some awful things. And we just keep on marching. 1,000 battles, 1,000,000 battles. Saving the country is a process, not an event. We have many, many, many races to win and many fish to fry. You have to deal with your pain in a better way, though. I'm talking about your physical pain. Do you have it? Most people do. Neck, back, joints, muscles, feet, hands, shoulders, hips, whatever it is. You've got pain. It happens over time. Body starts to break on us. What do you do to deal with it? With Relief Factor, you can deal with it in a drug-free way. We either ignore it, try to tough it out, and then you're just snapping at everyone and not sleeping, or you take things that are harmful to you. Relief Factor was created by doctors to help support your body's natural response to inflammation. Go try Relief Factor. 3 weeks is all you'll need to know it works. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. All right? One more segment left. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And it's been an amazing day. And I know you're going to have an amazing weekend with your family, friends, community. Make sure you get out and get in a group of people. Just so you know, my fellow introverts, I am getting with a group of people tomorrow night. I already have plans to, as I promised. We must go out in this social media technology day and age and physically interact with other human beings. That is how God made us. So let's do it this weekend. If you're like, ah, Jesse, I'm too tired. Well, that just means you haven't taken your male vitality stack from Chalk yet, or you haven't taken your female vitality stack from Chalk yet. You should have already been taking that for 3 months now. If you were 3 months, frankly a month, but if you were 3 months into your stack from Chalk, you'd be ready to go to hang out this weekend. Now, you're still not going to be excited about it. And when you get there, your social meter, your social battery is going to begin to drain as mine does. You've got me for a couple hours and then I'm going to leave. But still, it was a male vitality stack that got me there to begin with. Go get one. Get a subscription. Chalk.com. Chok.com. Promo code Jesse. Gets you huge discounts on subscriptions. All right. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. Now, let's wrap this up.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Jesse, I'm literally writing this message from inside a porta potty. Why is this toilet paper so painfully thin in every porta potty? Is it a deterrent to keep people from using them in order to keep them clean? Are they just cheap? The paper is cheap in a porta potty, yes, for money savings, but also because they want the paper in a toilet, in a porta potty, to be uniquely dissolvable because they have to show up and essentially grind. I don't want to go into all the details. They essentially have to grind up the contents of it to put it in a truck. I know. Okay, I know. It's gross. Chris, what do you want me to do? That's why the toilet paper's thin. I'm moving on. Jesse, what are your thoughts on bullfighting? I don't want to tell you because I feel like a huge wuss. I am not an animal rights guy. I am not. I love to fish still. I don't hunt anymore, but I grew up hunting, and I have no problem with these things. And I understand what it's like on farms and ranches. My grandpa was a farmer. My folks have a ranch. Like, I'm that guy, right? I'm that guy. I don't cry when I see a dead armadillo on the side of the road. I don't love bullfighting. I understand the tradition of it. I don't like animals to suffer. I don't like suffering. I have no problem hunting one. Go hunt a deer, kill it, skin it, and fill up your freezer with it and enjoy every single bite. I'm going to have a burger for dinner. I already have plants. It's huge on meat. Kill all the animals and let me eat them. I don't like the suffering aspect of what, Chris? Oh, Chris doesn't know. Chris is holding up his hands. He doesn't understand what they do. Nobody. It's not pretty quick. You see the bullfighting where you see the matador, you know, and he's stepping aside. And that's actually really cool. And then you maybe have seen the end where they stick the sword in it and finish it off. Go look up some pictures of bullfighting, buddy. What you'll see is things that are essentially little spears hanging off of the bull. They spear it and stab it a million times before they kill it. It ends up being essentially blind with pain and rage by the time they kill it. Gosh, I sound like such a hippie loser. I know I do. I don't like it. I don't like animals suffering. I hate myself. Maybe I need to up my chalk, Chris. Jesse, from your explanation during this past Wednesday's radio program, I now understand the who, the how, and the why behind the proliferating campus protests. But what I still don't get is the why now during the 2020 George Floyd Summer of Love riots, so on and so forth. Biden was billed as the candidate of normalcy. But what's the calculation for why it's in the commies' interests to toss yet another anvil at the Biden campaign, barely treading water as it is? Thanks for all you do. Well, you know how we've been talking. It's been a consistent theme on this show about how saving the country is a process and we have 1,000 battles to fight and so on. You know who understands that better than we do? The communists do.
the communists are not all in on November. Look, they want to win in November. I'm not saying otherwise. They do. They want to win in November. But the communists understand there is a larger thing at play. Winning in November is just one of the things that will help them in their effort to push along the revolution. The revolution is the big thing. That's the larger war for them. They are fighting a revolution against the great evil, the great Satan in their minds. That would be the United States of America. And that is exactly how these people think. That's how Democrats think. They are fighting against the great evil. They are not going to put all their eggs and all their emotion and all their effort into just the November basket. They're in the middle of a revolution. Street communism, angst, chaos, violence, the normal people seeing these things. It's an essential part of the revolution. And it doesn't stop ever. It doesn't stop for a Democrat. It's never going to stop for those reasons. Why do you think it is? We were talking about this. There was a Politico article the other day. Why do you think it is that it's the billionaire communist scum Democrat donors like George Soros who are financing the protests? Now, George Soros, I'm sure, is going to max donate, probably already has, to Joe Biden, but he's also funding the protests that you say are hurting Joe Biden. Why? Well, yeah, he wants to win in November, but he's got bigger fish to fry than a Biden-Trump White House. We think small. We think about the next election, the next president. We have to win this. The communist thinks bigger because we're trying to win an election. He's trying to burn down a country. His goals are bigger than our goals. That's why. Chaos, violence, anger. They always aid the communist. Always, always, always. The communist foments these things during the revolutionary phase because when you destabilize a society, even if it may cost you an election, in the long run, it moves along the revolution. Jesse, I married a Venezuelan some 23 years ago. She's now a control freak and acts like Democrats. I can't stay. How can I stay in this marriage much longer? P.S. I did convince her to vote for Trump in the last election, but she hates him because of his behavior. I bet she won't vote this time around. Look, buddy, you're the one who married a Venezuelan. Look, you need to think about Latin women the same way you think about redheads. God made them so hot because he also made them insane. And you, if you want one, you're going to have to deal with the other. You ever dated a Cuban? Mexican? I'm telling you, man. You better be tough. Now, go enjoy your weekend. You can send me an email if you want. We'll sign off on that wonderfully offensive note, all right? That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.